So this morning we will be looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You can find our passage on page 947 in the Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let's end the reading of God's holy word. So, we have been studying Christ's words at the end of Matthew's gospel, and we have reflected on our status as disciples. We've talked about what a disciple is, that by grace we are disciples of Christ, who Christ uses to make other disciples, and how this requires us to think and live intentionally as disciples of Christ. And so our mission as the church is very simple. It is to make disciples. Right, that's what Christ tells us. That is the main activity he gives us in those verses at the end of Matthew. But there are also, ways that when we talk about it, we call them values. But there are basically four key verbs that really help us to understand what the Christian life is meant to look like. If we're living as disciples, well, are there central things that should be going on in our life? How do we check and see to know if we are living as disciples, beyond just asking the question, am I making disciples? Well, there are, and we have four key verbs that we use to describe the Christian life, and that is worship, teach, nurture, and reach. And so we're going to look at each one of those over the next 4 weeks. And so the first one we're going to look at this morning is worship. That out of the mission to make disciples, the first thing that we're going to do as disciples, one of the centrally important things that we do as disciples is worship. Now, this is very simple, but very confusing as well, because sometimes we have trouble defining what worship is. Many think worship means music and songs. And that's an aspect of it, but and there's been no shortage of debate over what constitutes worship music. Just keep in mind that the hymns in our hymnal were once the contemporary songs of their day. People said, what are these newfangled songs that are coming out? But if you'll notice, there's no music sheets in the Psalms. There's no music sheets in our hymnals. There's a mention of instruments. There's a mention of singers. And there's a lot we can go into there, but no sheet music. But when we talk about worship, we're not simply speaking of singing. Worship is a far broader concept in the Scriptures than we often recognize. And so after presenting in the book of Romans the wondrous doctrine of redemption and sin and redemption in Christ, Paul is now in this large section of the remainder of Romans, applying that grace to the life and community of believers. And so what he tells us is he starts talking about worship. And what he tells us is, first of all, that worship is saturated with the mercy of God. Worship is saturated with the mercy of God for two key reasons. First, because we worship because of God's mercy. God's mercy is why we worship. Now, the background of this verse are the Old Covenant sacrifices. Because the sacrificial system, a lot of times people, it's a misunderstanding there, but the sacrificial system was a system that is founded in mercy. Because the man who had sinned was allowed to transfer his guilt to another who would receive his punishment. God said, look, you deserve to die for your sins, but in my mercy, I will allow a lamb or a goat or a bull to be slaughtered in your place. And so even the old covenant sacrifices were rooted in mercy. And then, of course, Christ came. And the book of Hebrews tells us that the past sacrifices pointed forward to Christ. Jesus, as John the Baptist called, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, came, and he was also the high priest. He was both the sacrifice and the priest who does the sacrificing, and he sacrifices himself for our sin, taking our guilt upon himself. The reason Sundays are not bloody for Christians is because Christ died for our sins. He is the ultimate and final sacrifice. What this means is that worship is always performed in the context of the mercy of God. We worship God because He has loved us and given us His Son. We worship Him because He has raised us to new life in Christ, because He has sealed us in His love, because He has adopted us into His family, because He has promised us an inheritance in the kingdom to come. He has freed us from the tyranny of sin and the devil. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness and considers us righteous as His Son is righteous. We worship because God has been merciful to us, and He loved us before we even thought of loving Him. So in this sense, worship is our response to God. And so worship begins with mercy. But also we worship by God's mercy. It is Christ living in the soul by faith, writes Matthew Henry, that makes the body a living sacrifice. How do we present our bodies as living sacrifices, as Paul tells us? Matthew Henry says, you need Jesus to do that. Jesus must reside in your soul through the Spirit in order to worship God like that. Worship, as we've already established, is our response to God who has redeemed us. But since we are fallen and sinful, our worship will always be lacking. We will never truly worship God as we ought or as He deserves in this life. Therefore, our worship will only be holy and acceptable to God because He is merciful. The Apostle Peter confirms this in his first letter in chapter 2, verse 5, where he says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Even as a spiritual house, even as a holy priesthood, our worship is only acceptable to God because it comes to the Father through His Son. This means that we need mercy to move us to worship, and we need mercy in order for our worship to be accepted by God. Because the mercy of God is not just seen in the cross. The mercy of God is also seen in Christ's present ministry as our high priest, who continually intercedes for us now. Paul even wrote in Romans 8 how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, praying when we don't know how to pray. And so worship is not, God did something super duper nice for you, and now you get to do super duper nice things for God. Our worship comes in response to God's grace, but His grace is necessary for us to worship Him today. He must be gracious to us now for us to worship Him. And the wonderful thing is, He is. So worship begins with mercy. Secondly, worship is an intentional act. It's one of those beautiful redundant phrases that annoys professional writers if they see that. They're like, if it's an act, it's got to be intentional. But that phrase, we present our bodies, focusing on that idea of we present. The idea there is activity. It's not passivity. It requires an act of the will. It's not simply showing up and sitting in the pew. It's coming to the Lord to give. Because people can come to worship and not worship. People can come, they can sing the songs, they can recite the prayers, they can listen to the sermon, they can give an offering and never worship for a moment. Why? Because they refuse to submit themselves to God. You think of the picture of the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? Both go to the temple. Both are praying in the temple. But what does Christ say? Only one goes away justified. Because only one sees his true need. Only one sees that the reality that unless God is merciful to him, a sinner, he has no hope. The Bible speaks of being able to have ears without hearing and eyes without seeing. As much as Jesus says those lines, it should give us pause. How many men and women saw Jesus with their own eyes? They heard with their own ears his sermons, his teaching. They ate miraculous bread and fish. But they did not submit themselves to him. They did not entrust themselves to him. They did not worship him. Worship is not passive. It is active. It requires intentional engagement. Because when we worship, Paul says we are doing something. We are presenting. Think about our worship order. If you look at your bulletin, it's intentional. We didn't just kind of like throw like a bunch of elements in there into some random worship order generator, right? Might be fun. I don't know. But that's not what we did. Right? Why? Because there's intention behind this. There's intention in the progression. There's songs of praise. There's confessions of sin. We've come to praise God. We've come to confess. We've come to confess our faith. We've come to receive assurance of pardon. We've come to sit under the word. We've come to give. We've come to worship. The question we need to ask ourselves is, have I come to worship today? Because, Paul says, we submit ourselves to God, but when we submit ourselves to God, we are submitting to God something specific. Our whole person. Because he says we present our bodies. That phrase, that word bodies transcends the physical into the spiritual realm. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John 4, she asked about which mountain was the right place to worship God. And Jesus responded by telling her that there was a time to come when God's people would worship in spirit and in truth. It wouldn't matter which mountain. You don't go to the mountain. The mountain actually will come to you where God's people gather. Jesus isn't ditching the body. He was speaking to someone who thought of worship purely in physical and geographical terms. But Jesus and Paul want us to understand that worship involves the whole person, the mind, the body, and the soul. Worship engages our intellect, our emotions, and our will. When we are worshiping, we are presenting to God not just our praises or our money, but our very selves. There's a very important reason for that. That's what God wants. It's what He desires. You are what God cares about. Do not believe the lie that God just wants part of you today. He just wants the presentable version of yourself. That He will content Himself with the portion that we have separated out to give Him. Now, one reason I think we hold back is just a struggle with a sinful love for the world and its comforts. There's a part of us that's afraid if we really give ourselves to the Lord, that if we really let Him in to every part of our lives, that He might see some things that we really like, but He doesn't, and He'll take them away. And the scary thing is, He might. He probably will. But it'll be for your good. But another reason I think people are afraid is that what if we give ourselves, a lot of times people, there's struggles in marriage that are this way. If we give ourselves wholly and completely to the other, what if they don't like what they find? What if God's disappointed in me? What if I can't be what He wants me to be? C.S. Lewis reminds us in The Problem of Pain that we are not loved by a kindly old grandpa, a compassionate judge, or a generous donor. That you are loved by the consuming fire Himself. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, the One who made the cosmos with a word, who spared no cost in accomplishing your salvation, because you were not redeemed with the blood of goats and sheep, but with the precious blood of Christ. Your scarlet sins that stained so deeply, the evil that scarred your very soul, was cleansed and healed by His blood and His wounds. That's why God says, don't give me the scraps. I want all of you. From your head to your toes, from your mind to your soul, I want everything. Because I bought you for a price. You're my child and I'm your father. Don't hold yourself back from me. Enter boldly into the throne of grace. So worship is an act that we do by the mercy of God, where we present our whole selves to the Lord. This means then that worship is our life. Paul tells us that we are to present our bodies, but for a specific end. He says to present our bodies as living sacrifices. That's a weird phrase, isn't it? Well, first, the first thing it tells us about worship is that worship is costly. When Jews would worship through sacrifices, as they were commanded to do in the law, it cost them something. You had to give up a sheep or a goat, pigeons or the ox. And it wasn't like, you know, when you're doing donations and you're getting rid of the old worn out stuff, you know. God would get onto His people because He would say, quit giving me your worn out junk. You got to give me your best. You got to give me the best of the flock. You got to give me the best of that you have. If we present our whole selves to the Lord as a sacrifice, then that means that we are setting ourselves apart for the Lord. We're not saying, Lord, you get this much of my life. We're saying, Lord, this is symbolic. Whatever we give it in the plate or our sacrifice of worship that we're offering up on a Sunday. It's just a token of the fact that we belong to God. It's symbolic of the fact that all of us, all of our lives belong to the Lord. Because that's what a sacrifice is. A sacrifice is something that is dedicated to the purpose of God, to do with what He will. And Paul says that our spiritual worship is to set ourselves apart as ones dedicated to the Lord. But this requires us to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice our earthly ambitions, our worldly cravings, our sinful desires, even the good things. We have to sacrifice them and give them to Him. It doesn't mean that we don't enjoy His gifts. He's a good father who knows how to give good gifts to His children. Doesn't mean you don't go on vacation. Doesn't mean you don't pursue promotions. Doesn't mean that you don't do those things. But it does mean that we are prepared to pay the cost of discipleship that Christ commanded us to count. It does mean that we embrace God as the Lord over our lives and whatever He may require of us. Worship is costly. It's a living sacrifice. Secondly,
Worship is a lifestyle. This sacrifice is a living sacrifice. Again, it's a strange phrase because most sacrifices were not living sacrifices. They were dead ones, right? That's usually what sacrifices, that's what happened to them. But we are not presenting ourselves to die for Christ, but rather to live for Him. Now, the cost of following Christ can be our earthly life, as Christian martyrs will testify. But our worship is not a morbid obligation to death, but it is an obligation to the death of sin and self within us. Our worship is an offering up of our life to God for the sake of Christ and His kingdom. And so what this means is that worship is a very inclusive concept. There are formal occasions of worship and informal occasions of worship. Formal occasions would be like what we're doing here as we gather together for corporate worship on Sunday. That's a formal occasion of worship. Informal worship is carried out when we're not doing that, the rest of the week, as we live as disciples of Christ. In this way, almost anything can be considered an aspect of worship because we are presenting our lives as a sacrifice to the Lord, that we are living sacrifices for Christ. So I just started doing something at the end of my work day that I was getting nervous saying something I just started doing because, well, I like to be doing it for a while before I say it, But I'm trying to do, I'm making a goal at the end of my day to do a few minutes of planning, to review what I've accomplished that day, if there's anything is missing, make sure I've got that planned out for the next day and just kind of get that ready. But at the end of the day, before I leave my study, to just lift up a short prayer to the Lord and just say, Lord, I submit this day to You. That prayer affects my mindset. Not at the end of the day, but at the beginning, because I know I'm going to say those words to the Lord. I know I'm going to offer this day up to Him. It reminds me that at the end of the day, I'm not just getting my task list done, my sermons written, my phone calls made, or my emails checked. I am going to, at the end of this day, turn it in to my Master, to my Lord, to my Father. It encourages me, because of this, to pray throughout the day. Because I know how weak and distracted I can be. If you read Table Talk in the daily devotional, and I highly recommend that you do, there's a little application section. I mean little. If you've read it, you know what I mean. It's little. And there's a little section, and there's two little Latin words, though, at the top of it. And it says, Coram Deo. Those two Latin words mean, before the face of God. That's what we're talking about here. Living our lives consciously before the face of God. Living in submission to Him every day, such that at the end, by His mercy, at the end of not just our day, but our lives, when we stand before Him, we present the living sacrifice of our life to Him. My brothers and sisters, we are disciples of Christ. And therefore, we are to be living sacrifices to God. This is our spiritual worship. This is the worship that God wants. Older translations would translate spiritual worship as, this is your reasonable service to God, rendered unto Him by His grace, mercy, and power. And so we need to take some time and rethink our definition of worship. We need to get beyond just the debates over worship music or how worship makes us feel. Because worship is far more inclusive and far more demanding of us than we realized. For we worship truly by the mercy of God as we offer up ourselves as living sacrifice. So by His grace, let's worship Him well together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Christ we have the call to worship. Not the call to give Him an hour, not the call to give Him 10%, but the call to give Him everything. That He would be our all in all. That we would live distinctly as those who live under not the authority of the world, not the authority of Satan, not the authority of our culture, not even our own authority, but under the authority of Christ, the one to whom has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. The absolute sovereign King of the universe. And Lord, as we seek to more faithfully present ourselves as living sacrifices, Lord, may we find soul satisfaction in worship. May the routine things that we have done before in reading our Bibles and praying and going to worship on Sunday find a renewed vigor and just a new life. May there be spiritual awakening happening in our minds and our souls. Father, we pray that You would work in us, that we would truly worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, because that's what we know, that's what we need, even if we confess that sometimes it's not what we want. Lord, help us to see past our petty desires. Help us to see how pitiful the things that we place our hope and joy in are if they are not in You. And Lord, may we see the lasting value that is in Christ and in true sacrificial lifestyle worship that You command Your people to give. Oh, Father, by Your grace, by Your mercies, may we worship You in this way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.